So today, Guy and I are hosting. I'm just gonna say a few words about myself because maybe not all of you know me that well. Maybe I've met all of you enough. But my name is Jonas. I've been in part of the Micro Solidarity Network since the Belgium gathering 2 years ago, almost. And over the last year, I've gotten more and more involved. And I'm really passionate about like local organizing, local community building, and building a world where people feel like they can belong and they have the right to get involved and exercise their agency. And that's why I really love this network, because there's people here who do that. And we want to do more of that together. That's why we're hosting this retreat next week. Some of you wanted to be there but couldn't, and some, like, for some it was clear that they couldn't from the beginning. But we want to give you a chance to like be part of this visioning process anyway, whether or not you can be here in person. So that's what today's call is about. And maybe do you want to say some words about yourself as well?
Yeah, I'm Gigi. I don't think I know you all in person or online, but most of you. I've been kind of part of the Micro Solidarity Network since 2020, when I did a practice program, but then kind of forgot about it. And then last year, came back to the summer camp. And since then, I've been more involved. I'm more excited to co-create this together. I think, yeah, I've said this before, but for me, it's like an awesome place to practice what we value and how we want to be in the world and support each other. So, yeah, I'm really excited about what's coming up and what's going on already. So, here we are.
Yay. Cool. So I think there's no one on this call who hasn't been on any before. Is that true? Or do I just recognize some of you from the practice programs?
Into the practice program, I haven't been part of the monthly or
Cool.
weekly. I have no idea.
Monthly,
Calls, regular calls.
monthly. We're not at the weekly stage yet. luckily. Maybe Martin, do you want to just say a few words about how you found your way to the
Yeah,
network with
sure.
this call? Or...
I attended the. I don't even know what it was. It was the practice group, I think, where we
Practice.
just practiced. And I really liked the format. A big driver in my life is creating connection between people because it's the basis for everything else, in my opinion, that can flourish out of that. And to be blunt, I have too little of it in my life. So this sounded like a group and felt like a group where there could be more of that. And yeah, what I really liked about the people participating, and I think Helga, I have no idea how to pronounce your name correctly. I'm sorry. Yeah, you were also part of that pod or group, if I remember correctly. And what I liked was that we don't necessarily share the same goals in a sense of these are the things we want to drive. So it was not so much about that we agree on what to do, but that we agree on how to do it. And this to me resonated very well because it leaves a lot of freedom for everyone to go after what they want and at the same time have the connection and support group and whatever it is that you need in order to create that agency that you talked about. So that's me. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Yeah,
Really
welcome.
curious about the long weekend in Spain and of course hoping for sun. Oh yeah.
We have plenty of that here.
Yes.
Cool.
Williams here.
Yeah. Hey, William.
Hello.
Hi. Cool. Sweet. So, just one thing that's different from usual. Jocelyn's not hosting. He and I are hosting. This is also part of the kind of ever evolving experimentation and like trying to share different pieces of the network with different people. Again, I have been holding different aspects, and now we're like kind of coming into this because Jocelyn's at an airport right now and wasn't sure if she could make it. So yeah, that's what's happening. We're gonna vision today, and we're gonna look a little bit into like a few different aspects of vision. One is like what's happening in your communities, what challenges are you facing, what how can the network support you in your work that you're doing on the ground with your communities? Another aspect is what's happening in the network. Like, what do we want to happen in the network? What do we want this to be for us, for each other? And then lastly, what do we want to be the network to be for the world? What impact do we want to have as a kind of super organism of communities? And we're just going to dream into all of that a little bit today and see what comes out of it. And with that, I will pass it to you, Guy.
Thank you. Perfect. I'm just putting in the chat a few reminder tips of how to use the tech on the call and how long the meeting is going to last, and all those things that we already know. Have some journal things with you we're going to use. And there is also a Miro board for harvesting. And yeah, thanks for doing that. If you want to click on it now and make sure that you can access it, that would be great. So we don't have to do that later on in the call. If you can't, let us know. And
The Miro kind of is set to only signed in users. Is that intentional?
There's no other way, unfortunately. but this should be an invite link to invite you onto the team, onto the Micro Solidarity Miro team. So I think you can create, you can join that with an account.
Yeah.
But w you will have to make an account if you don't have one.
We give a few seconds for that. Is everybody okay with it? Could you,
Just move on. I'll
Peter?
join you. Yeah.
Okay. And if not, we'll be able to put things for you if you put them on the chat, I guess, later on. So ready to go? All right. We're gonna do a little poem sharing to help us arrive in our time together, kind of leaving the day behind and getting into this shared space as a group. And yeah, after the poem, there's gonna be like a minute of silence to dive into what inspires to us. So if you wanna close your eyes or yeah, find a comfortable seat and tuning into receiving mode and inspiration, I will read the poem for you. And the poem is called Celebration of the Human Voice, and it's from Eduardo Galeano. And it goes like this: When it's genuine, when it's born of the need to speak, no one can stop the human voice. When denied a mouth, it speaks with the hands or the eyes or the pores or anything at all. Because every single one of us has something to say to others, something that deserves to be celebrated or forgiven by others. Welcome back. We are going to do some journaling now. I'm gonna put it on the chat for you to follow, and I'm gonna take a few minutes to reflect on our own on what are the challenges or maybe uncertainties that are alive for each of us, looking at the year ahead, always keeping in mind these three layers of ourselves in our communities and our communities in the network and the network into the world. And after we do this, we're gonna share in pairs. So just take a few minutes to journal and reflect. We have a few more seconds to go, so wrap up your thoughts. All right. So now what we are gonna do is send you on breakout rooms in pairs to take turns sharing what was the most significant reflections that came up for each of you, and then you will have 3 minutes each, and then an extra minute to harvest on the board. Each of your thoughts. And yeah, we're ready to go.
Yeah, and there's on the harvest board, there is a section for today's call. It's labeled with today's date. You might want to use the left half of that to collect your thoughts. There's a stack of post-its. You can just like drag and drop them elsewhere or make new ones. And we'll send you a prompt when it's time to switch. Have fun. Cool. Oops. All right.
All right.
I see there's still a lot of activity on the Miro. Do you all still need a minute to wrap up harvesting, or can you give an indication if you need more time? Or?
Yeah, I don't know where to put the harvesting really. There's a lot of I don't understand this board really. What's happening?
It's just anywhere on this
So we
challenges,
just
questions,
put a post-it
uncertainty.
and just oh, there. Okay, cool.
Thanks, Jocelyn.
Oh,
Richard.
yeah. And if you're already done writing, you can take a look at what the others put there and just like soak in the vibe of the things that are being written there. And maybe you notice some patterns.
So many interesting things I want to dive into. Resonating with a lot of it. No,
Let me slowly continue.
Sure. So the invitation now is to have a conversation all together here in the room about what would be possible for our communities if those challenges were no longer there. So kind of like imagining that they are removed from the scene, and we can be in a place where those challenges don't exist anymore. What would it be possible? What, how would it look like? And yeah, we can unmute yourselves and share, or yeah, I think share out loud would
Yeah,
be great. Yeah.
just gonna have a bit of a conversation and see what emerges for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. And
And
also, as I put on the chat, keep in mind also how can the network support our communities to move forward. But I just wanted to make more emphasis on the first question before we got into the support part, because first we need to see what could be possible. Yeah.
I'll go. And because there's something, yeah, that question of like what would be possible. My challenge was an uncertainty of a type, and I immediately kind of like, oh wait, well if the uncertainty wasn't there, then I would know that some things would go forward or that some things wouldn't happen. But either way, I would know. And if things weren't going to happen, then okay, that energy that I'm holding towards doing that thing would probably get redirected towards something else, or something else would happen, but I'd know. And it was kind of that unlocking of that flow and the unstuckifying of that potential energy that's going toward a thing, and will it be met by other people, and do other people want to do the thing in the same way that I want to do the thing? And yeah, letting that flow there or flow elsewhere, but one, either way, flow, that would feel really good if that challenge were not there.
Thank you. I really resonate with the redirection of that energy that's, preventing it from happening, the thing.
In my community, which is one of my communities, is like there's like six of us now living on land, and hosting like a 3 months sort of unschool cohort or like a master's degree in the woods for 3 months, and then hosting other retreats. We hosted a summer camp last year, and there's an edge that we kind of all share about promoting ourselves or like sharing things publicly, because it feels like anything sharing, especially like I'm gonna share on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, it's like demeans or like diminishes the value or changes that like whatever we're doing as the moment that we want to share it, it's like ruins it. So like we all have instinctually don't want to share, but at the same time, by not sharing, like nobody has a clue that we exist or how awesome we are or how amazing it would be for them to show up and do stuff or give us money or whatever. So if we didn't have these hang-ups about talking about ourselves or sharing in some way, then I think a lot of stuff would become possible. Just like more people would show up, they would enjoy this amazing experience of communing with nature and with our silly, awesome selves and each other. So that's one of our issues.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Iwan. And I think it's a familiar experience, at least to me, and some people that I know have also shared that they know this is like either a version of it's like not good enough to share, or sharing it ruins it, or something like that. And then once people start moving beyond, then it's like, oh, what? Actually, someone's interested in that, and what would be there? Like, what possibilities would come from just speaking about the awesome things you do in a more public way.
Yeah, there's also the we're not actually experts. We don't actually know that well what we're doing yet. Like, there's plenty of other people who share who have like way less of a clue than we do, and they don't have any qualms about it. And then it's just like, those fuckers, or it's just like getting a grumble, hater mode.
Yeah, don't let them occupy the
Oh no.
information space. Cool.
I think for me, the challenge is like we've spent the last 2 months in this big house in Spain, and we've had lots of events, and there's more events coming up in the following month. And people are living here a bit like what's happening with Ewan's place as well. Like it's like co-living, and then a big retreat, and then more co-living, and it feels pretty awesome. Feels really like it's hard to describe, but kind of effortless and easy and not intense. Just like it's nice, it's gentle, it's nice, it's supportive. We're doing stuff, and I keep noticing like there are these moments of collaboration that just happen atmospherically because we're in the same room, or someone's just, it's very easy to just pull someone in and say, hey, can you help me with this? And like, I've got this idea for a job, and maybe you can help me on this contract. And the shared physical space just kind of lowers the coordination overhead a lot. And so the challenge is we move out at the end of the month. And what would be possible if we had a permanent space that's like kind of the home for micro solidarity, or the first home for micro solidarity, and knowing that there's actually going to be like four or five of them distributed at different points around the world, and that like that people just know there's a place that you go to, and you get effortlessly included into some ways of relating that just feel good and are effective. And you get to see, oh, this is how people treat each other here. These are the kind of activities that happen. This is how leadership looks. This is how decision making looks. This is our relationship to the land. This is our relationship to the neighbors. Like those kind of things are just on display and don't need to be made abstractified and language defied, but just like you just do them. I suspect if we had that first year, there's like you lower the coordination overhead, so there's just like a lot more stuff happening. It's just easier to collaborate and be ambitious, but also when it's concrete, people can just come and get it really quickly and be left. They can just kind of come in, have something land, and then go away with a different lens on life that's permanent. And yeah, I keep saying effortless. Like it's quite easy for us to scale that, or to deploy that, or to contribute that to the world. But it really depends on having a place, and having a place that's set up in the right way. Like every time we go to a new venue, there's like new shortcomings and new opportunities. And I just like, yeah, I'm getting to the point of like, okay, it's time to choose one and optimize it. And then the challenge is, how are we going to fund that? But that's a fun puzzle for us to think about together, maybe over the coming months.
Dreaming about having such a space and place that you know you can always go to, and you find the right people that wait for you there and just catch you. Yeah, amazing vision. I would love to be part of that and have access to it. But also contribute, obviously.
Yeah, on average, since we've been here, there's basically averages that to one new person a day. And every person is brilliant and interesting, and I don't know, they're so easy to fall in love with, like they've just got so much to contribute and have such awesome stories, and I feel like I've got an overabundance of connections to these awesome people, and that most people don't have that. And it'll be nice to like connect them together more.
Yeah, as I was listening to you and being part of the experience for the last month and a half, and being like, I wrote, how do we create a culture of effortless cooperation? As a immersion of that, if we remove the challenge of the funding, it looks like we're already doing it. So that's pretty amazing. Like, it's just. It was like that realization was like, oh, But also for me, it appears like the other things that interfere is like, oh no, you wait until there is conflict, or you wait until, like those are my maybe inner challenges of like having previous experiences in communities and when things went not so well. But yeah, I don't think this is the case, but still, like my system trying to prevent me from getting too attached to it or something. Yeah, maybe I have to say that I do truly believe that we have the tools and we're creating it. And that's what it's so amazing about it, like to be supported by the practices. And yeah, don't want to take much more space, but yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
Thanks.
One thing that's really, yeah, you're saying this, Rich. One thing that is on my mind quite a bit generally is I would really love to have a have like a residency space that was able to like facilitate creative work. Like for me, it's like making sound, and I'm aware that it just takes up more space than most like project spaces really kind of have for people to just occupy. If people are just coming and convening, that's doesn't take up a lot. But if you need to like set up somewhere and make noise and potentially annoy people, that's quite different. And I would really love to have that sort of like residency space that isn't necessarily just artists and is within this network and like adjacent spaces, and there can be all sorts of cross-pollination of ideas and and being able to share practice and across that boundaries. And yeah, I suppose just like having the map of where these things exist. I mean, I know of like a few things, a few places that are, but it's yeah, it just seems more like difficult. So I don't know, that joining up and bridging of worlds in that sense, a place to like work and practice, community building, just sense making and like art practice at the same time would be awesome.
I mean, I could share something because I was inspired when I was in Denver in 2022 because I heard about Blivande and the thing that was happening in the Medley in Berlin and then the Shared Ground in Boulder. So I tried to open something similar in Portland. I call it Bridge Space Commons. And there was, I opened up a 10,000 square foot building basically with a could host events and had small rooms and stuff like that. And it was, and then I offered it for free for a year. So there's a whole bunch of people who used it for a year. And then at some point, a group emerged that started meeting every Tuesday to figure out governance. And I had no idea. I was hoping that somehow magically, during that 1 year, some model would emerge that would pay rent because I told them I needed like $10,000 rent for the second year. And it actually worked. Like some people applied for a grant and it was like they found this amazing funder where basically you apply for a grant by writing a long email and then they call, do a Zoom call with them. And now I just got the first month of rent paid and they, there's not even an entity like a nonprofit. They just, the funder just sent me the money. And so the funding was like happened. And there's a lot of complicated issues with like relationships and groups and stuff like that, but it actually happened, in a way that I didn't expect at all. Yeah. And all the other projects, it looks like most of them have stopped in the meantime, so just sad. I mean, Blivan is still around, but like I think Medley and Shergrond are gone, so yeah, I didn't know it was impossible. I thought it was impossible, but it actually worked, so I don't know. It's weird.
Just before we move on, I'm loving the like kind of the connections that are already emerging, or the conversations that are going on. But I just want to invite again for like the prompt around like what would you see be would become possible in the future, if we were to move beyond the challenges in our communities, like what's bubbling? Like what do you see is like within reach almost, if only those annoying challenges were not there anymore. And yeah, let's take a few more minutes for that and then we move on to another piece.
To me, it feels like this annoying problem of financing actually might be on the brink of just disappearing. This seems some kind of feeling to be around about, yes, the value of this is being seen more and more. And there are people who are willing to pay for it in order to make it happen in their lives, in their companies, etc. So that would be one thing that I could see disappearing. More being able to live off of this, basically, is the vision. Yeah.
Yeah, making a
Yeah.
living.
Yeah.
For me, it's a lot about this kind of like sense of like loneliness and the kind of question of like finding people that are like matching kind of like in excitement and reliability and commitment, you know, like to show up and be active in the same way. So like network support kind of moving forward is a lot about kind of like it's been a lot already last year, like this the kind of few like points of contact that I had is just like always like of this like recognition of like, okay, yeah, we're in the same thing. Like I recognize this. Oh, I've been going through this to kind of like, okay, like everybody's like kind of in the same or similar kind of like trajectory. So that's always been something that I'm really like looking forward to from these meetings in a way. Or surprised by these meetings, like kind of that there is actually all of you amazing people there. And so I think for the next step, there's something a bit more practical around, yeah, how to actually like attract or like streamline this kind of like tacit knowledge, if you want to say, of like kind of like what does it mean to like actually commit to these kind of weird, strange, out there ideas that we're all like kind of working on in a way that they're all going in a similar direction, but then still like kind of are quite out there, let's say, at this point at least. So does it make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Ernest. I was gonna say something about loneliness too. That like what becomes possible? Well, I think loneliness is kind of like a long tail distribution where I think probably all of us have experienced some sense of loneliness in the sense of like I'm trying to do something in the world with a particular set of values and it's hard to find companionship in that. But everyone knowing that they're allowed to come to this call and speak from their heart and be seen and heard already puts us in the sort of like upper, I don't know, 80th percentile of connectedness. Like I'm just spending more and more time lately with people or encountering people who are like so desperately lonely just for any kind of social contact, you know, for any kind of human feedback. And Part of me is like worried about that, but the other part of me sees it as a massive opportunity that there's this like, it's almost like an untapped resource in a way. And I imagine that collectively we can articulate a roadmap that takes someone from desperately lonely to becoming a very effective community host. And, you know, maybe it takes 5 years to get from A to B. But we actually know there's like quite specific. It's like a game with many levels, and we kind of know more or less what the levels are. And at each stage, there's like 6 or 10 different activities you could try. You know, like if you're doing martial arts and it's like now you're a black belt, now you're a white belt, now you're this belt, whatever, that there's some kind of way of progressing. Yeah, that we could formalize just enough to help people find their own way through that process of going, I need more connection to, I'm actually a net positive of connection. I'm supplying connection. I actually know what games to offer and what kind of moves that are available. I've got a repertoire that helps people find each other. I think we can do it. I think we already are doing that. But it's just kind of there's a handful of examples, and you can kind of like trace the story. And I just want to see hundreds of examples so we can really start to see the patterns in a more obvious way. And what would that do? I mean, I think when you cure someone's loneliness, you earn an extraordinary amount of loyalty and passion. And I'm proposing that we deploy that loyalty and passion on meaningful causes, not just, you know, our egos or something like that, but actually, it's like simultaneously helping people find their place of social connection and pointing that somewhere useful and wholesome and making a contribution with it. I think it's quite doable.
Oh. We're already starting to transition a bit into the next piece. Now we've kind of looked out into the future a bit. We've kind of scanned the horizon for like what's there. What I'm proposing now is that we get on a plane and like fly beyond the horizon and see what's really on the other side. And for that, I made a little kind of guided dream journey. And I would invite you to just make yourself really comfortable, like as comfortable as you can be right now. You can turn off your camera if you want. You can also stay on video, whatever you feel good about. And when you're really comfortable, you can close your eyes, maybe take a few deep breaths. And just scan your body for a second. Like, take stock of how you're feeling. Are there any tensions? Feel any like particular emotions present in you right now? And just say hi to them. Let them know that you're acknowledging their presence. Now, I want you to imagine yourself 20 years from now. It's a long time. You sit around a bonfire with your community, your friends, your family, all of the people who are there and you're really close with. And the vibe is really familiar, relaxed, peaceful, almost a little bit celebratory. The sense of, things are going well for us right now. And they're not go only going well for us. The world around us is also benefiting from the way things are going. And together you start reflecting on how you ended up where you are, how the things happened to get that way. I just wanted to tune in with that feeling for a second. What would it mean for things to go well in the year 2044? How are you spending your time? What contributions are you making to others? How are you supported by those around you? And as you reflect on this with your close ones around you at the bonfire. The Micro Solidarity Network enters the picture. Conversation shifts to drawing the line between this moment and the year 2044 and the early 2020s. Together, you retell the story of the network and its evolution, the impact it's had. What difference did we as a network make over the years? How did our practice change and evolve? How did we affect communities and people around the world? And what needed to happen so this impact was possible? As you explore this timeline, notice the quality of your experience. What emotions, colors, bodily sensations, tastes and smells, images and sounds are present? Are there any doubts and worries? Take all of that in for a moment longer. And then we take three breaths together, breathing in the energy of that vision, breathing out any sense of inhibition, breathing in all the possibilities that lie ahead, breathing out any doubts about the future. Breathing in a feeling of connectedness with the people around the bonfire and in this room. Breathing out whatever wants to be breathed out. Now you can slowly come back to the present, the 1st of February, 2024. You might want to slowly start wiggling your toes or moving your hands. Open your eyes when you feel ready. And before we share, just take a moment longer to examine the vision you just surfaced. And you might want to jot down some notes about this, or maybe you want to get up and stretch. And we'll come together and share in a minute. And when you feel ready, you can just come back to the Zoom land and just take a look around all of the lovely faces, the people who are here today. Yeah, this is these are the people who are holding that vision with others who are not here today, but we all do anyway. And we thought we could do a circle now, a sharing circle. So someone can start and have a minute, about a minute each. I'll set a mindfulness timer. When it goes off, you don't need to stop immediately. Like there's some wiggle room just as a kind of mindfulness reminder to slowly wrap it up. And then you can pass it on to someone else. If you're not ready to go, you can say pass and we'll loop back to you. And the floor is open. Just yeah, let's hear from you. What are your visions like?
Okay. I don't know if any of you have been to a really good festival, like a burn or something, where you have the expectation that you can walk up to anyone and they're going to meet you with respect and curiosity and the possibility of adventure and some hospitality and like, you hungry? We got this for you. And we're going to do this thing. Do you want to join? What I felt in the vision was just like a very vast directory of places all around the world where it's common knowledge that you can just show up and you're going to have that kind of experience. And that is kind of just like commonplace and normal. And so if you're ever feeling like a little isolated or something, you just like wander into your nearest one of those and see what adventures are available. Like halfway between church and a festival.
Do you want to pass it on, Rich?
Certainly. I will pass it on to Uta because I haven't heard her voice in a long time.
Hello, Rich. Good to see you. And everybody else. I just laughed about the church reference. We have a history with that. So I as my first thought was like, again, so remind me what Micro Solidarity is about. You know, like I always have this first impulse and then it comes and then I'm yeah, of course, it's these people and it's these kinds of people that will inevitably be drawn to this kind of thing, and everybody else is not going to be too attracted to it. And so that's fine because we want to grow at the speed of trust. We do not want this to be scaled or go anywhere too big, too fast. So I'm like, bring it down, bring it down. I don't want it, boom. I want this to go as exactly as it has been, which is we're still like, what, 15 people here or no less. And that's great because that means that we all trust each other. Thanks. That's my speech for tonight.
And do you want to pass it on?
Yes, I would like to hear from Ion.
I had trouble coming up with a vision during the exercise. But now I'm reminded of being at the Rainbow Gathering. And when you arrive at the Rainbow Gathering, somebody hugs you, or a whole bunch of somebody hugs you and says, "Welcome home." So if there's like rainbow gatherings, like Rich said, a little bit of everywhere, and it wouldn't be just like young clueless hippies, and there'd be like also a bunch of elders and people who don't take themselves too seriously, then that would be awesome. Okay, I'll pass it to Matt.
Thank you. What came up for me while I was envisioning what it's like when that time has passed, there was this description of people who are very close to me around a campfire, and I feel like I already largely have that locally. But for the Micro Solidarity Network, I wish that this feedback or that this visioning could be something more concrete, but it is instead more like there are feelings associated with it. And the feelings have something to do with my reaction to the word impact. Because any time that there's been that all of my people are together, and here we are, and we're all sitting around the campfire, and there is like loneliness is the farthest thing from me. Anytime that that has been the case, there's always been, I almost want to say, a triviality in some ways, like taking the big things lightly and the little things seriously, where there's certain pursuit of meaning. that whatever is wonderful. There's a lot to say about that, but I don't really have time. I'm gonna pick, let's see, how about James?
I find myself distracted and don't really have anything to share at the moment. I'll donate my time back to Matt because I want to hear more about that.
Thank you. Well, that's if that's acceptable to the group.
Because the word impact, yeah, you're in the campfire and then the intersection.
Yeah, like whenever I've not felt that feeling, it's always been like a kind of grift that's performed by corporate consultants who say the word impact a lot. And I like the things that they want. Like I like philanthropy, I like wisdom, I like justice, but whenever those are in the mission of the organizations that I've been involved with, it all just turned into this sort of performative game in the achievement sphere. But whenever we focused on everybody's pursuing what's directly meaningful to you here, now, this, us, all of a sudden those things started to happen more. Like you got more justice, you got more ancient spiritual wisdom or whatever. You got all these things from pursuing what people, okay, what's really meaningful to you here, now, us, just locally, Southeast Michigan for me. And then any of these impacts that we would have put into our mission, if they weren't going to happen with those things, they honestly weren't going to happen much anyway. So I don't know if this is like a visioning thing that I've just said in concrete actionable, but I don't know. It's just, that's what came up for me.
Mm. Thanks a lot for sharing. I feel that's highly relevant. Do you want to pass it on for a second time? Try again.
I'll let James pass it on. He's the one who's got the speaking rod.
All right, I'll see what William has.
Thanks, James. Yeah. What was alive for me was this sense of, first and foremost, it kind of being a place where like blueprints for how things can be done like differently is stored, like a bit of a repository, but a repository that isn't just like a directory. It's a living library. So okay, so we've done all these projects and we know people who have done all these projects, and there is, you know, you can talk to this person if this is something that's relevant to you, and there being kind of nodes of people who you know, like, oh, I can approach this person to get some personal advice on. And yeah, thinking from kind of like trust and like finance, like doing things differently, to organizing and just like practices. All right, time's up. So I am gonna pass it over to Sinners.
Hi. I didn't have any visions or anything like that. I was just it was nice to listen to all of you. Like, for me, the future is a tricky thing, because like, I mean, 20 years is like such a long time. If I think like 20 years back, I was 21 and I'm like, okay, I was like 15,000 different people in between then, approximately. So it's a thought, like, I don't know. Hi. It would be cool, like, it's kind of like not like I can't conceptualize the things that I don't know. I can't even like understand them probably right now. And that's kind of like the thing that I'm curious about, is like, kind of like, what are the things that like are the, like, we're always like talking about the dark ages of like whatever and the linear development of time, but like that's all like just a story, you know, but what what are the things that are like kind of blind spots right now, like about what can't I understand about the future right now? What's impossible right now? Yeah, I'll pass it on to Pascal.
Thank you. I think the vision that I had and what brought me there is to me was something like social fabric that was and the people I think long-term perspective, finding a way together to be together for the long run, which in the situations that I'm currently in seems to be the most difficult thing to establish. And what made me very curious is how I got there in 20 years, because what I find myself in currently is that I'm either in a community that's very, very good in belonging, or I'm in this community that's very good in becoming, and the dynamics and the so I'm just curious how those worlds will merge. I'll pass it on to Martin.
Thank you. For me, the pattern that keeps coming back is spending time together. And that is the thing that creates social fabric, relationship, trust, whatever you want to call it, that then enables everything else together, makes everything else possible. So this campfire moment, I've had a few already in my life. And at the same time, I'm not connected to any of those people anymore, at least not in day-to-day lives. And maybe that's the different feeling that I would love to have in 20 years' time, with enough space for myself. So yes, there is the community, and there's a lot of need for individuality, at least for me, and space. So yeah. Teaching and learning, hosting and being together, doing the simple things like cooking together. Yeah, that was my vision. I think, Guy, that's just your second computer, right? So, all right, then I'm going to pass it back to Guy. And Jonas.
Mm-hmm. Do you also want to share?
Sure. Yeah. Why not? I have a vision of also like a lot of little islands of local communities that were contagious, like a kind of like a sprouting thing, like a viral cross pollination. And it was like, oh, look at and that community over there and that community, like a lot of local things. And I started thinking of the, sorry, I'm going to say impact, but like the impact by just being involved in the place we inhabit. And yeah, just like a little bit of everything that's been said, like inviting by just living it. And what it was surprising for me is that I thought a lot of the elders and the children. So that was, I didn't know that was there. And I felt like a warmth in my heart, like, oh, we have place for this. And it seems like something there for me to explore. Why does it matter? And what can I bring to the network around that? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. How are you?
Yeah, I think what's present for me is this sense of like resilience, or like kind of holding on to each other tight. That comes from social fabric and trust, and like being able to take risks together in around things that are meaningful and around things that are coming from the relationships between us, that are just kind of obvious next steps, because we start getting to know each other in a way that, just becomes clear what will be a good thing to do for us and the world around us. And yeah, and through that, really being able to withstand hardship also, and like kind of persevere through the next decades of this world that might or might not look very rosy. And yeah, but that kind of has a warm feeling to it, a sense of like, yeah, resilience is the best word I find for it. Cool. Thanks everyone for sharing. Oh wow, we're so untimely. Quick micro celebration. So we thought we were just going to share some things that have been going on in the network lately, and if any of you are aware of things that we don't know of, then there's also space to share any cool projects or new crews that you've been a part of, or like kind of ideas that are bubbling. But on that note, just maybe from the, yeah, from us as a kind of hosting crew, we've been the people that organized the EU summer camp last year. Rich, Jocelyn, Guy. Were you there?
No.
No, you weren't there. I somehow thought you were there. Uta was there, though. Yeah. and I, we kind of got together last fall and had a sense of like somehow there should be a crew continuing to meet regularly to think about what the network needs and how it can evolve, to kind of hold that. And we've been meeting bi-weekly or weekly since, yeah, almost
since the last practice program.
Since the last practice program, right.
Yeah, there's Sarah too.
And there's Sarah as well. Yes, thank you. I'm conflating things here. Anyway, we've mainly been focused on this retreat that's coming up next week, and organizing that. But we're also thinking about how we can make it more like easier for people to take ownership over certain parts of the network and step up and contribute if they feel like it, or if they have capacity, or if they feel called to it. And we also see like a lot of potential for things to grow if someone puts energy into things, then things start happening. So it's like both an offering and a request, I guess, at the same time. Yeah, that there is an opportunity to contribute more, and there's we're going to talk more about specifics probably in the next monthly call, because there's going to be more things also clear after the retreat. But just wanted to let you know that that's happening. We're also working on a kind of next iteration of the practice program, so like a kind of intermediate course that is more focused on like kind of practical hosting skills and practices and experiments to run as someone who's interested in enabling more community and more connection. Where the practice program is kind of the introduction and the kind of this is what it feels like, and these are some basic tools that we use. This next thing might be something like, and how do you make it happen out in the world? So that's cooking. Yeah, is there anything else that I missed? Rich, do you have anything else to share about what's going on?
The big one on my mind is the Berlin project. So late last year, a couple of people got organized to get six existing communities to meet each other in a structured way and like start weaving connections between the six of them over a 6-week program, I believe. I think Uta was involved, a bunch of people were involved. And that project is going to go through its second iteration soon. It's kind of like in gestation. So I'm just really amped about that because I think there are so many places I visited that have lots of these cool little communities, but they're not interacting with each other. And you were pointing, Jonas, to this thing of resilience and like the extra capacity for doing stuff. You know, it's like, oh, we want a retreat center, but like all of those communities want a retreat center, and maybe we can coordinate our resources if we build trust and see our common interests. So I'm excited about that project. If it goes well, like kind of forming a template that other people can follow and say, like, this is a run sheet, it's a 6-week program, this is how you invite people, this is the kind of process to take them through. And just seeing that replicate, you know, maybe there's one in Portland, maybe there's one in Michigan, start seeing these things happen in different cities and comparing notes, that just feels to me like a really strong thread.
Cool.
With elders and kids.
And clowns.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, we're open at Alchemist to be a base, at least on the West Coast here, for people who want to have a place to retreat and be sort of home and be free to be silly with us and do stuff together rather than just talking about things. There's always plenty of work to do, and I feel like the best relationships get formed when you do things together, like chop cabbage and weed the garden and split the wood and stuff like that. And I think there's it feels much better to have groups of people who live together or for a period of time than having sort of random Airbnb guests or random retreats for like weekends, and people come for the weekend and then never come back. So if there's a sort of a critical mass of people who just show up and they have some stuff in common, that's awesome. And we have the room for that, especially, and even more so in the summer. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Any more kind of invitations, ideas, threads to pull on that want to be shared?
Another invitation. There was a couple of people that interviewed each other for the YouTube channel. And it's really great. Just one community organizer talking to another community organizer and saying, what do you do? And what are you good at? And what do you struggle with? And like, oh my God, us too. So that invitation is always open. Anyone wants to film a conversation with someone about community building and put it on the channel, that is much appreciated. I think a lot of people get a lot of value out of it. A few of the right people get a lot of value out of it. We're not growing. We're just gradually increasing.
Yeah, and you can reach out over Discord or by email to people who have access to that and can help you make it happen. Cool. Another invitation, these calls need hosting. Probably the next one will kind of, the hosting for the next monthly call will come out of the retreat probably somehow. But anyway, if you're interested in hosting a monthly call, you can reach out to Jocelyn. She's still kind of holding down the admin around that. And if you know anyone that might be interested in these calls or in the Micro Solidarity Network, you can invite them to join the Open Collective and the Discord. But yeah, you all know that probably. It's just a formality.
We have to do it.
Yeah. it's good. Cool. With that, I would say let's close Let's close the call. And if anyone still wants to hang out, we'll be around for a few more minutes. Thanks everyone for joining and participating and bringing your ideas and visions.
I really enjoy hearing them.
Right. See ya.